You know, as we live our lives, we all have many choices to make. As we saw the skit up here this morning, a lot of things go on in our lives, and daily we are making choices. In fact, I'm sure that most of us, before we even get out of bed, we're already making some choices about what we're going to do and how we're going to live for that day, and maybe even days and weeks ahead. We are constantly making choices. I made some choices this morning. I bought this shirt a few years back to go with a suit, and when I bought it and got it home, I didn't realize they gave me one that was too long. So, you know, I could kind of do this. This is actually the first time I've ever worn it without a suit. So now you know it doesn't fit. But I made the choice to wear it anyway. I made another choice this morning. I made a choice to come this morning and put a tie on. I want you to know it is way too hot up here to wear a tie. So that's gone. We make all kinds of choices in life. Sometimes they're simple choices, like the choices I made as to what I was going to wear this morning. Well, now I know for you ladies it's a little bit harder, but it's not like the really difficult choices of life. We make all kinds of choices in life. Some of them take longer than others. But what we need to know this morning is that if you have faith in God, if you are trusting God, if you have given your life to Jesus Christ, if that faith which you claim is real, it is going to affect the choices you make. Because you are a person of faith, person has received Christ as their Savior, if you have done that, that faith that you have in God will affect your choices. And as you live your life, there's not just the faith of salvation, there's the faith every single day that causes us to make choices, either go that way or this way, to do this or to do that, to decide I'm going to do what God wants me to do, or to decide, forget Him, I'm going to do what I want to do. Every day we're making those kind of choices. And I want you to know this morning, if you have real faith, it will affect your choices. And those choices will be to choose the right thing over the wrong thing. What we have in our passage this morning is more examples of people, men and women, who live their lives by faith. And they have come to Hebrews chapter 11 as kind of a Hall of Fame chapter of people who were really just like you and I. But they trusted God. And they allowed that trust in God to affect their choices. I want to look at a couple choices this morning that we see in this passage that they made because they had faith. Let's look at the first one. Faith choice. Here it is. God over government. God over government. Verse 23. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw that he was no ordinary child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. This is the choice of Moses' parents. Their names are Amriad and Jochebed. You can read about that in Exodus chapter 6. There was an edict given by the king, which you can read in Exodus chapter 1 and chapter 2. And the edict said, told the Egyptians and the Israelites that they were going to kill all the boys and save all the girls. So if you were a parent and you had a boy, Killian, the midwives were to take Killian and kill him. Well, the midwives didn't listen. They didn't want to do that because they also had faith in God.
So the king came back, Pharaoh came back and said, why aren't you doing that? They said, well, you know, the Hebrew women, they're very hardy women, and by the time we get there, the child's already born and it's too late. So the king said, all right, we'll do something different. Take those boys and throw them in the river and drown them. But one way or another, I want all those boys dead. Now, the girls were allowed to live, but the boys were to be killed. See, what had happened is in Egypt, a Pharaoh had come to power who had not known Joseph. He didn't know the stories of how Joseph had saved the Egyptians and how during a famine he had saved all the lives of people living there, and he didn't care about that. He just looked at the Israelites and saw that the numbers were getting really big, and if they kept going that way, there would be more Israelites than there were Egyptians, and they may take over the country, so let's just kill all the boys. And we'll stop the great growth in Israel, the Israelites. Kill all the boys. Well, Moses' mom got pregnant. He was going to have a child. That child would be a boy. His name is Moses. She knew the king's edict. Her responsibility at that point was to take her child when it was born and throw it in the river. Let it drown. If she didn't do that, they would come, they would find that child, and they would kill it anyway. And if that didn't happen, they may come back after the parents and then kill the parents for not doing what they were supposed to do. So Moses' mom and dad took Moses and they hid him for 3 months. The Bible tells us that they did not fear the king's edict. Why? Because they had faith in God. Now, you might be here this morning, you might say, well, wait a minute. If I had a little baby boy, whether I believed in God or not, there's no way I'm going to take my baby boy and throw him in the river. That's just not going to happen. But you know what? It happens all the time. All the time, people choose to save their own lives selfishly and let others die. All the time, the choice is made for people to follow the government for their own safety, and let others die in their place. We saw it in Germany before World War II. Germans came looking for people that nobody cared about. They let them die. Germans came looking for other people. They let them die. Germans came looking for more people. They let them die. And finally, when it finally came time where the Germans came looking for everybody else, well, there was just no one there to protect them either. And everybody kept their mouths shut, and many, many Jews, along with many other people, were murdered before the war even began. People choose government all the time, even when government is wrong. Moses' parents have this little baby boy, and we're told here in Hebrews chapter 11 that Amrad and Jochebed, for 3 months, hide their child. And they did it because it says that they saw that he was no ordinary child. The word ordinary is a word that means beautiful, attractive, well-formed, well-made. Now, most parents would think that, but I think it goes far beyond that. I think that they kind of had a quiet talk with God, or rather, God had a quiet talk with them and let them know that he had a plan for Moses' life. Because remember, faith is always based in the Word of God. So they were trusting God by faith for God to do what he was going to do in Moses' life. So they took that child, their child, and they hid him for 3 months. Because they were not afraid of the king's edict. Their faith in God pushed aside fear. I asked this Wednesday night, let me ask it again this morning. And this is a question you don't have to answer except to yourself. Is there a fear in your life?
something that caused you just to be afraid, something that would make you do things just different because you were afraid. Is there some fear in your life that your now faith in God has pushed that fear aside? Or do you still have all the same fears you had before you knew Christ? You still had all the things you had before. And there's not one single thing that you can point to your life that you can say, look, I'm no longer afraid of that. Why? Because I have my faith in God. And because my faith is in God, I no longer fear this. Can you point to something like that in your life? The example we have here of Moses' parents is that they hid their child as long as they possibly could, and they did it because they did not fear what the king said. They weren't worried about the king's edict. They weren't worried about what the king would do to them. They had their faith in God. And it set aside their fears. Well, you know the story. When they no longer could safely hide Moses, they finally took Moses and they put him in a basket and they sent him down the river, trusting God to take care of him, which God did. Moses then was found by the Pharaoh's daughter. And having been found by Pharaoh's daughter, she took Moses into her house and made Moses her child. This is truly one of those rags-to-riches story. Here's a child of a slave who had been sent down the river in a basket with nothing. And now was found by a very, very rich woman, the daughter of the head of the entire country. And he now is, from being a slave, is given all the wealth of Egypt. And it happened because they were willing to trust God. You know, we can think of other stories like this. We can think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Remember them? They were told down to bow down to the idol the king had set up, or the king would burn them. They said, King, the God whom we serve, he's able to watch over us. We will not bow down to your idol. We can think of Daniel. Daniel was told to stop praying. Stop praying, Daniel, or we're going to throw you into a den that's full of lions. You know, I know a lot of people who profess Jesus Christ. If that edict was given today in America, you know what they would do? They would say, well, there's no sense dying for this. I'll just pray quietly. I'm still praying, but I just won't be killed. I'm still believing God, but I just won't be killed. And we can think of story after story of those who believed in God, were willing to go against government in order to follow God. That is what Moses' parents did. I wonder what laws may come down in America that say, hey, either follow the law, Christian, or be thrown in jail. Don't speak on certain issues because those issues are outside the rule of religion. Don't go to church anymore, because we're shutting down all the churches. We don't want you to read Bibles anymore, so don't read your Bible anymore. We don't want you to serve God anymore, so stop witnessing to anybody else. We don't want that going on in our country. I wonder how many who profess Christ would begin listening to government and quit listening to God. And I want you to know whoever would not be found in God's chapter of faith. Story of a couple who were slaves who followed God by faith and went against the most powerful man at the time and obeyed God. Notice the next one. The next one is found in verse 24. It's the story of that baby who was born. It's the story of Moses. Follow with me in verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasure of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. Faith's choice. Notice the second one. God over pleasure. God over pleasure. Let me define pleasure. Pleasure is this world's pleasure. It is all the things that this world would offer you. Moses refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. About this time in his life, we're told in Acts chapter 7 that Moses is 40 years old. And he chooses, notice, to be mistreated over the pleasures of sin. The pleasures of sin, which we're told here, is for a short while, those things that are short-lived. He chose mistreatment, a word that means to assume one's share of suffering. He said, I'm going to quit living as Pharaoh's daughter's son, and I'm going to go back to my people, and I am going to join in on my share of suffering along with them. The suffering that is due me because I'm an Israelite. Let me stop for a second. You know, when we look at this passage, we often think that sin's pleasure is all the really bad things of sin. You know, it's all those evil, wicked things that people choose that are just really bad, sinful things. But I want you to know, it is far more than that. And it is this. Moses choosing to come over here with the Israelites and choose alongside of them as an Israelite to give up being the daughter's son of the king and become a slave. That's what he's choosing. And all the mistreatment that went with it. Now, what he is giving up is not immorality, although that could be part of it. What he's giving up is not sinfulness, although that is part of it. I want you to know what he is giving up is all the things that come along with being the son of the daughter of the most powerful man in the world at that time. That is what he's giving up. He's giving up the prestige, the position, the power, the wealth, the freedom. Let me say it again. He's giving up the position, the prestige, the power, the wealth, the freedom. He's giving up all that this world has to offer, and he's choosing to come over here and become a slave. And by doing that, he knows he's going to suffer along with his people. I want you to know this morning, I know some people who profess Jesus Christ as their Savior, that not for one second would they ever be willing to give up this for that. And I think the real reason is because they really don't have faith in God. Because if you really had faith in God, you would give up this for that every single day of the week. If you really had faith in God, you would choose what God desires, what God wants. And if you ever make the mistake of choosing the other, it wouldn't be long before you were back over on this side of the floor of the room doing what God wants you to do. He gave up all that he had to choose disgrace for the sake of Christ. He would rather be belittled with God's people than join in the pleasures of sin, rather than join in all this world has to offer. He not only gave up what the world offered, but he chose disgrace in its place. He chose to identify with the slaves of Egypt. Most people jump at the opportunity for the riches. You know, all you got to do is turn on the TV and you see all the people playing the lottery. I want those riches. I want the money. I want it. And you know what? When I get it, I'll give some money to the church. And that's how sometimes we get around our gambling and doing the wrong thing and trying to make it sound okay. You know, if I choose to go over there, then I know my boss is asking me to lie, and I know my boss is asking me not to tell the truth to the people I work with, and I know my boss is asking me to do this, but, you know, it's really not that bad. Besides, God doesn't want me to starve, so how could I ever give up my job? Most of it's okay. How could I ever give up my job and come over here and give up all that? My family needs to eat. God wouldn't want me to suffer.
We're told here that, notice verse 26. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt. Why? Here's the reason. Because he was looking ahead to his reward. He chose disgrace in this world over all the riches of Egypt. And the reason that we are given in this passage is because he thought of it as being of greater value what he would get in heaven compared to all the value he would get in this life. In other words, all the things this world has to offer does not compare for one moment to all that God is going to give us when we get to heaven. And he was unwilling to be disobedient to God for one second if it meant all that he could have here, if at the same time it meant he would have to give up all that he would have there. That is the choice of faith. It is God over pleasure.
Matthew chapter 13, verse 20 and 21 says this: "The one who received the seed that fell in rocky places is the man who hears the word, but at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away." In other words, there's going to be people who hear the gospel and say, "I want that. I want to go to heaven. I want to follow Jesus." But then they hear what it really means to follow Jesus. Then they hear and see what it really means if following Jesus means I'm going to be persecuted. Following Jesus means I'm going to have to give up some of the things the world has to offer. Yeah, I don't think I want to follow Jesus anymore. It's not worth it. Because what I think is that what I can have in this world, in other words, what I can get at this moment, is far more important to me than what I might have someday. And isn't that how many people live their lives? Let me give you an example. There's something I really want. I mean, it's really nice and it's really good and there's nothing wrong with it and I really want it, but I don't have the money for it. Let me get out my plastic. And even though I can't afford it, even though it's going to put me in debt, even though I don't have the money, and even though I really don't need it, I do want it, and it is nice. Well, what's an extra $50 a month? Let me put my plastic down. It'll be okay. And that thinking is the thinking, I want what I want right now, right here, and I don't want to wait until I get to heaven. I want what I want right this very moment, and I don't have the patience to wait for it to get to me someday. I want it now. I don't have the right guy to marry. I don't have the right girl to marry, but you know what? I do have one right in front of me, so instead of trusting God and waiting on God, I'll take this one. Even though maybe 5 years later we're going to get divorced, man, I got to have it now. We'll just take our chances. I know this is not the job that God wants me to have, and I know there's some things in this job that are wrong, but you know, when I really do need the money and I just can't wait for God to provide for my needs, I can't trust God to do that. I think I'll just take this job. I know maybe I shouldn't move there. But you know what? I really don't want to be here. So I'm just going to go up and take that, even though it's not right. I can't wait on God, can I? Moses could have had the entire world. All he had to do was say, yeah, I'll take it now. He had it. And Moses said, you know what? All that this world has to offer, even though it's right here in front of me, even though I have it right now, you know what? It is not worth what it's going to cost me. I would rather be disgraced. I would rather be mistreated. I would rather go, Moses says, I would rather go to being a slave and being right in the center of God's will and have nothing than to have everything this world would give me. You know who makes that kind of choice? It's the person who really, truly has faith. It's not more faith. It's not a lot of faith. It's just someone who has it. Jesus said the kind of faith that's like the grain of a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed there is. A person who has faith chooses God over what this world offers. Chooses God over all the things this world's willing to give us. We have in 2 Timothy 4, do your best, Paul says, to come to me quickly, for Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me. Notice verse 27. It says, by faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who was invisible. By faith, he wasn't worried about what the king was going to do, just like his parents. Faith of the parent is now being seen in the faith of the child. He left and he persevered. He did not give up. Verse 28, by faith he kept the Passover, the sprinkling of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith he left Egypt and he persevered. By faith he kept the Passover and he put the blood on the doorpost to save the firstborn child of Israel. Moses' choice was to identify with God's people and rather than to have it all. He chose God over this world's pleasure to be obedient. To be obedient, he chose to be persecuted. To be obedient, he chose to give up all he had. Here's what faith says. Faith says, I'm willing to do with less in this world, even to be mistreated, because I'm looking towards eternity. Faith says eternity with God is far more important to me than the pleasure of this world. Faith says you can give me all this world has to offer. If you were to come right before me right now, faith says lay it all before me and I will still choose God. Faith says my relationship with God is more important than anything this world could give me. Faith says I choose what God wants over what is easy. Faith says that the choice of God is better than any other choice because it's the right choice. God over government, God over pleasure, God over everything this world has to offer. Now look at your own life. What are the choices you have been making because of your faith in God? Have they affected your choices? Have they changed the choice you would have made over before you knew Christ? Or have you bought into this world? Have you bought into the thinking of this world that says, you know what? I think I'll have God, but I just won't let him affect any other part of my life. I'll claim God. I'll claim to be a Christian. I'll claim to be born again. I'll claim to be a follower of God. But I'm going to put God over in this box. And God, you're not going to affect how I live my life. God, you're not going to affect how and what I do in my family. God, you're not going to affect what I do at work. God, you got to stay in this box.
God, I want you, but God, I want you in this box because you know what, God? I want all this world has to offer. I mean, I want everything this world is going to give me. That's what I want, God. But when I die, I still want to go to heaven. So God, keep that in mind. You're in my box. I haven't taken you out of my box. I still want to go to heaven when I die, but I want what I can get here too. Let me ask you this morning, has your faith affected your choices? If not, is your faith really real? Let's pray. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want you to take a moment to look at your life, just between you and God. Every day we're faced with choices. Every day we're faced with choices of whether we're going to follow God or follow our friends, whether we're going to follow God or follow our boss, whether we're going to follow God or listen to government. Every day we have those kind of choices. How has your faith affected your choices? Have you bought into the world's argument? Or if we took Moses' name out of this passage in the Bible, could we insert your name? See, the choice of faith is to choose God, always. Father God, I pray, Lord, that every heart that is represented here this morning might, because of their belief in you, because of their belief in your word, be making the same right choices that Moses' parents and Moses himself made. Help us, Lord, to follow you. Though none can go with us, help us, Father, to follow you. Help us, Lord, to choose you over everything else. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen.